he was talking to me. I said, man, time flies. I said, Daddy, I guess it seems like it's just when Christmas, you open the gifts and then you everything's done. You go to bed. You get up the next morning and you have about 2 days and then it's Christmas again. And he said, that's about the truth. And he said, go ahead and make fun. Your days are coming. And but I'll tell you, time does move on, and move on faster than we want it to. You pray for us. It's been a joy to be here this week, and y'all pray for us as we finish up. And Lord willing, I think I told last evening where our support status is at. And hey, some can take preaching and some can't. But anyway. Had all he had. No, it moved around, getting around now that sun just a little bit. And amen. Is that it? Amen. But pray for us that we get the remainder of. I got to finish going through things at the house and get that done. And I'm falling behind on getting that completed. And pray for us. We're going to try our best to transition to the end of this year and make our way out to Gig Harbor. I sat and talked with Dr. Townsley. Dr. Townsley pastors in Southern Connecticut and a great ministry there in New England Baptist Bible College, and a good man. And we were sitting and talking last week and looking and kind of talking and getting things together. And he planted the church there in Southerton. And he has a lot of church planting background and so forth, and they've started several churches. His son has started a church there in Connecticut. So we sat down and had lunch together and spent some time together last week and looking at things and preparation and everything. And so I'm going to have to be flying out there and, of course, we're working on and getting a place to live. And then we'll be transitioning and moving that way. So you pray much for us. We have about 20% need of support. So you pray that it'll come in quickly and we'll get it around. And did I get this on? I don't think I did.
Yeah, I did.
All right, we'll pad that one off. And so you pray with us. We'll get everything together. Pray for Christy and, of course, our family, our children, and we serve the Lord. And, of course, we pray for you here. We thank God for you and your love for us, and we love you, and thank God for letting us our paths cross all these years. Hard to believe, 15 years here with you in this meeting, and boy, I tell you what, time, as I said, time does move fast, too fast, really, and so you pray much with us, and we'll be praying for you. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. As I have said, there are times in your life where you need God to do something, to magnify Himself and make Himself known strong on your behalf. And I'm thankful. This last year, God said He'd never fail you. And He has never failed me. God's never let me down. And there's been many a time that I've had to call on Him and seek His face and seek after Him. And I'm thankful that He's always been there. And He's our aid. He's our comfort. He's our helper when we need Him. I want to speak to you out of one verse of Scripture tonight. I want to challenge you as a church. When Pastor told me I'd be preaching at the end of the week, I was praying, asking God what He would have me to preach. And God directed me to this passage of Scripture, and God has used this in my life in recent days as I sat down and began to study the Scriptures. And God began to bring me to this passage of Scripture. Then I'll share a little more how God brought us to this place. And in Scripture. I'm thankful that the thing that will sustain you in the time that you need it is the Word of God. Dr. Ernest Gambrell, the founder and director of our mission, Fundamental Baptist Worldwide Mission in Memphis, Tennessee, he told me, he says, "Terry, I want you to do me one favor, if you would." And he called me several times there when I was sick, and he said, I'm going to encourage you in this means to do this. Don't worry about the meetings you've had to cancel. Don't worry about all the other avenues right now. Don't think about trying to raise support. Don't think about those things. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to rest. I want you just to take time and meditate on the Word of God. Open this book. Think about, hey, listen, and God will use those things. And I'll tell you, when you're down, I'm thankful that God does bring back to your remembrance so many things that you've studied. I remember in 2003 something that Dr. Steve Hayes said, and I called him the string bean of Maryland, amen. And I love Dr. Hayes. When we were there with him when I got sick in 2003, and I'll never forget what he said. It stuck with me, and I've used it all across this country in message after message as I preached. He said this. He looked at me as they loaded me in the RV that day, and we were getting ready to leave. And he shook my hand and hugged my neck and had a word of prayer. And he said, "Brother Terry, I want you to know, Brother Lawson, I love you and I'm praying for you." He said, "We don't understand all the things that happened. But he said, he looked at me and he said, "I have found this out. Sometimes you have to practice what you preach. Sometimes you have to practice what you preach. If you preach on, hey, listen, you preach that God will be there in the valley, hey, sometimes you're going to have to live and find that He is a God in the valley." And I appreciate those words, and they have helped me. Every time that I've been sick with something critical or an ingrown toenail, amen, I found God to be true and God to be good no matter what we face in our life. One verse of Scripture I want to look at and then share with you out of this passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14, it says this, "I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice it says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, if you'd like and take, if you mark in your Bible, just maybe you'd like to underscore those first three words of "I press toward." But far more than that, I pray that God would mark them in our heart and upon the tables of our heart. "I press toward the mark." Those are powerful words the Apostle Paul uses there. And I want to speak to you tonight out of this passage and ask God to aid us tonight, encourage the believer, and speak to every one of us. In Jesus' name, we want to ask that. Father, tonight we pray that You'll be magnified, You'll be glorified. God, that You're exalted in every aspect. Father, I pray You'll use Your Word to encourage this church, encourage this people, everyone that's up under this tent tonight. And God, I pray that You will give exactly what is needed. Father, help us to draw near the cross. Help us to make some decisions today in our forward movement, God, that would bring honor and glory to You. May You be magnified and exalted. And Father, speak to the child of God. Speak to that one that may not know You tonight as their personal Savior. I pray that You'll minister to them and do a work in their heart. God, we pray in Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. A number of years ago, I had a preacher say to me, we were talking, I like to read historical books, especially that of the Civil War. But I've read many different books. I've read books on Lee and Grant, a chapter on Lee, a chapter on Grant. I read one particular book. It was real encouragement to me. That was that of General Robert E. Lee, and it's called The Christian. It's an excerpt of his letters and memos and things that he has written through his service. It starts with the decline to be the leader of the Union forces.
And then letters he sent to his wife and memos and so forth that he sent out, and letters to his officers and those to President Jefferson at that time of the Confederacy. But I was talking to a preacher one day. He said, "Have you ever watched Gettysburg?" I said, "No, I've never watched. I've read a lot about it." So I watched the movie. And I liked Sam Elliott till I watched that. And he come riding out in a Union uniform, and I don't watch Sam Elliott no more. I'm on the wrong soul to be talking about this, but anyway. And then we were talking. He said, "You ever watch Gods and Generals?" And I said, "No, what is that?" He said, "That's a portrayal by him that they've made into a movie." And said there was supposed to be a trilogy of them. That was the first movie that was made. Then Gettysburg was supposed to be a third one made. The reason the third was never made is they said it was too religious. I don't know if you've ever watched Gods and Generals, but in that, it portrays a lot of, and there's a lot about General Jackson and the Confederacy and so forth in the first part of that movie. But one thing, as they're trying to, notice that the book's always better, history books are always better, but they're trying to portray and convey a picture of all the hardships and things that our nation was going through at that point in time, which I believe was useless. And if Lee had listened to Jefferson, a lot of it would have been straightened out a lot sooner, I believe. But anyway, here you have Jackson. And there was two words that stood out as I read this scripture, kind of popped in my mind. And he challenged his men, especially at Chancellorsville, when they made the surprise attack on Union forces there. And he was advancing them forward. He was using these two words. And I believe if we condense down what Paul is saying here, he was using the same two words. Now, they're not like the fellow when I was in Georgia a few weeks ago, or back in April, and I was preaching a meeting. He stood up and he said, "Preacher, I have two words to say about this meeting. Amen." "I have two words to say about this meeting. Amen." No, we're going to use more than that, amen, as one word. But these two words is this: press on. Press on. Now, Jackson used them to motivate his men and move them forward. But I began to think about the fact, as I look toward this here, he said, "I press toward." The Apostle Paul is using the terms here as he addresses us, and he points to us as soldiers of the cross. Now, the Bible, the song says this: am I a soldier of the cross? Yes, well, if we've been blood-bought, yes, we are a soldier of the cross. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, when he said this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He said, listen, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he said, you will, if you're a good soldier, you'll endure the hardness. He said, endure hardness. Let me say to you tonight, as a child of God, that you're going to face things in your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere do we read in this Bible that we are guaranteed or given a bed of roses, by no means. All right, listen, we're not guaranteed that. Well, that's a North Carolina guarantee, amen. But we're not guaranteed that, by no means, that we're going to have a bed of roses. No, it rains on the just and the unjust. Listen, when God saved us, we still live. Yes, we're redeemed. We've been blood bought. But let me say to you tonight, we still live in a flesh and body. And we still live in a corrupt world. But thank God we have been redeemed. And in our lives as believers, hardships will come. Listen, tragedies will come. Trials will come. Tribulation will come. You know what the sad thing about it is? That so many, when they face the tragedy, they face the harshness, and they face the hurt, and they face the tribulation, and they face the turmoil in their life. They don't turn to God and run to God, but they find themselves just like David in Psalm 63. As he wrote that passage, he said, "Oh, I remember the house of God, the sanctuary." He was out in the wilderness. He was faced with struggle, or he faced struggles, and he faced hardships, and he faced the leadership and rulership as a king in the land. But what did he do? He tried to find solitude, and he retreated and went to the desert. He went to the wilderness. He went to a dry place. And that's what happens when people face things in their life, and they face struggles in their life. They don't turn to God, but rather, my friend, they turn to the desert. They turn to the wilderness. They go to the dry place. Oh, listen, I'm saying to you, when you face things in your life as a believer, don't walk out the doors of the church. Don't walk out and forget God. That's the time to remember God. Oh, listen, if there's ever a time that you needed God, it's then. Listen, that you need to be in the presence of God as you face the hardships, the struggles, the tribulation. See, I'm saying to you tonight, listen, we need God. We want God. Hey, listen, at that point more, or we need to realize that we need Him more at that point than any other. Oh, the Apostle Paul, here he is. He's sitting in the jail cell. He's sitting in the prison. He's there writing this epistle from his prison cell. And he's saying, listen, endure hardness. You walk forth. What better person to encourage you in your walk? Hey, listen, have you been smitten with the cat of nine tails? Have you been whipped? Have you been stoned and drug outside the city for dead? I believe He has authority to stand and encourage you and encourage me to endure what we face and go forth for God's glory. Amen. Oh, listen tonight. He said, endure hardness. See, my friend, He encourages us as a good soldier. And see, after He reminds us, that old song reminds us, rather. See, it's a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. Oh, listen, my friend, this battle is real. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, for we wrestle. They said, we're in a warfare. We're in a battle. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wants to advance us to higher ground in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, press on, child of God. Press on. You know what the word press? I looked it up. I know many of you are surprised I can use a dictionary. But every now and then I find a word or two here or there. Maybe I stumble on it. I don't know. But I opened this big book and I began to thumb through and went and found the word press. And that word press is this. It means to make a strong effort to persuade to do something. And make a strong effort to persuade to do something or to continue in one's action. Listen, what's the Apostle Paul doing? He's doing this. Hey, listen, he's trying to persuade you to stay in the fight. He's saying, hey, listen, I hold the bloodstained banner high. You keep walking for God and living for God. If you're not walking for God now, if you've laid the banner down, he's saying, child of God, pick it up and wave it high. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, but pick it up and press on for God's glory. Amen. Press on. Press on. Then he said, if you're continuing, if you're walking in the way and you're waving the banner of Jesus, you keep on doing it. You keep on. He said, press on. Press on. See, it would be easier to stay at status quo. It'd be easier not to move. Oh, listen. And listen, but I'm saying to you, don't, as Apostle Paul's saying, he would put it this way, don't let anything keep you from having the victory, and don't let anything keep you from having the blessings that God wants you to have. Amen. You press on. You press on. You say, what do we need to do tonight? We need to make a decision tonight. Listen, to press on. Be like Paul. Keep going on. Oh, listen. You say, well, when the time comes, I'll make a decision. And I guarantee you, when time comes and hardships and tribulation come, let me say, and that time you probably won't make a good choice. Huh? If you wait till then. But what I'm saying to you tonight, why don't you get to the place and say, hey, I'm going to make a decision tonight. Listen, with God's help and God's grace, no matter what I face in this life, I know that God is able to aid me. I know God is able to meet the need. And I'm going to follow God all the days of my life. Be a Joshua for God. Be a Joshua for God. Oh, you saying, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that we need to press on. Press on. You say, why? There's three aspects, the reason why we need to press on tonight. Number one, because there's a grander person to exalt. There's a grander person to exalt. Oh, listen, Psalm 34 in verse number 3. He said, oh, magnify the name of the Lord with me. He said, exalt, make much of Jesus. We find the psalmist. What does he do? He begins to exalt the name of the Lord. Listen, we are challenged by men to exalt the name of the Lord. I remember the late Dr. Jack Hudson. I hearing him on the radio at night when we'd come in from preaching all that radio station there in the Carolinas where we lived. And that AM radio would be sounding out, the waves coming and going on that thing. And but he would be preaching. And I've heard him preach that message on make much of Jesus. See, that's what we need to be doing today. We need to be making much of Him. See, He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. Oh, listen, I began to think about old Larry Brown down there in Augusta. He preached, ain't nobody like it. Huh? Hey, listen, my friend, there's nobody like the lowly Jesus. Huh? No, not one. No, not one. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that He needs to be exalted. The Apostle Paul, in chapter number 2 and verse number 9, what did he do? He began to point out the fact. He said, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, listen, my friend. The Apostle Paul begins to write. He said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you saying? The Apostle Paul said, I want you to understand that God is exalted his name and given him forth and highly exalted him. The scripture said, if he be lifted up, he would draw all men under him. Oh, the Apostle Paul began and said, listen, we need to exalt him. God's magnified his name. Let's magnify his name. See, it's the Son Jesus that, listen, it came from the portals of glory. Listen, my friend, whereby there's not given a name whereby men might be saved. See, my friend, that's a lovely name. It's the lily of the valley. It's the bright and morning star. It's the rose of Sharon. Thank God! I'm thankful that we have a name to exalt. And the Apostle Paul said, hey, there's a grander name. There's a grander person. There's one far more holy. And there's far more gracious and more kind. Hey, listen, and I'm going to exalt him. Notice Paul abandoned self. He abandoned self. See, Paul did not exercise the avenue or the means to exalt himself. He said, what things were gained to me, those things I count for loss. But you find the Apostle Paul begins to go through and he says this, I'm nothing. He begins to note in Scripture, he said, hey, listen, he uses that statement, for I'm the chiefest of sinners. When we truly come down and the rubber meets the road and we really evaluate, Paul said to examine yourself. And Paul had examined himself and he saw himself for what he truly was. Lost. He realized, he said, listen, I'm the chiefest. I was the chiefest of sinners. I was the lowest of low. I was the vilest of vile. He said, there's no good thing in me. There's no good thing in you. But he said, let me say, I've abandoned self. You say, how do you know that? He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. He said, not that we're sufficient to think anything of ourselves. He said, but our sufficiency is in God. Oh, listen, Paul abandoned self. He didn't think more highly of himself than he ought to think. He abandoned self. He said, hey, there's no good in me. But yet sometimes we think, hey, we're really somebody. We're really, listen, hey, we've hit the spot. And boy, hey, we've hit the limelight. And we're something. Oh, but let me say to you tonight, oh, Paul, hey, he said, I'm nothing. Kind of makes me think of the old fellow one time. The old farmer was out in front of his barn. And he was pulling the wrenches on the piece of machinery behind his tractor, and he's working, trying to get it repaired. And up in his driveway, up toward the barn, came this this truck, and on the side of it was a county emblem. And the fella got out and walked over, and the sweat was dripping off the fella, and he was at work and trying to get his piece of machinery put together. And the fella walked up and reached in his pocket and said, I won't tell you. So gave him his name, said, my name's so-and-so and everything. And he said, he held his card out there, and he said, I'm from the county. I'm a tax appraiser and county surveyor. And he said, I can go anywhere in this county I want to. The old farmer was pulling the wrenches, and he raised his head up, sweat dripping off the end of his nose, and he kind of nodded his head, you know, had his hand full with the wrenches and nodded his head and said, you see that fence right over yonder? And the fellow turned and said, yes, I see it over there. He said, well, partner, let me tell you something. I wouldn't go out across that fence, I'll tell you that right now. The fellow kind of irritated him. He swung around, and I mean, he threw that card right in the fellow's face and said, apparently you didn't hear my name. He gave his name to him again, and he said, I'm the tax appraiser and surveyor for this county. I can go anywhere I want to. Do you hear me? The old fellow nodded his head. The old farmer nodded his head and just kept working. The fellow turned around, stuck his card in his pocket, went over to his truck, get some things out. The old farmer finished tightening the bolts there and laid his wrenches down. He said, I think I'll walk up the house and get me a drink of water. I'm thirsty. So he walks out up the hill toward the house. He's probably about 10 steps from the corner of the house. And he's had his hands up on his bibbed overalls, on his galluses, and walking along there. And all of a sudden, he heard somebody, ah! He turned around and looked. And there was that fella running down the middle of that pasture with a big old Brahma bull right behind him. And he was a holler, somebody help me, somebody help me. Well, the old farmer, a grin came across his face, a smile, he reached up with one hand, pushed his hat back, took the other off his gallus, cupped his hands and put them over his mouth and said, show him your card, show him your card. Sometimes we think we're somebody. We think we've arrived. We got our, hey, Paul said, I'm going to tell you, I hadn't arrived. I know where I was at. He abandoned self, but notice this. He acknowledged the Savior's grace. Notice with me in verse number 9 of chapter number 3, I like this. He said, in being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. He said, I'm found in Him. See, he talks and uses those terms, gain, win. And then he uses that term through the faith and then righteousness. Hey, listen. He says, hey, I'm no self. I've abandoned self. But I'll tell you, I'll acknowledge the Savior's grace. Because where I am at, where I stand, it's not by me pulling up on my bootstraps and trying to make something out of myself. He said, no, I'm found in Him. I'm found in grace. I've been found in mercy. Hallelujah. And thank God I'm where I'm at because of the grace of God. Amen. Well, we're only where we're at because of the grace of God. Now, Paul said this to him. He said, press on. You press on. I press on. He said, press on. Why do we press on? There's one to exalt. A grander person to exalt. But notice with me secondly, he says press on because there's a greater power to experience. A greater power to experience. Oh, think about that verse number 10. He said, that I may know Him. Here we find the heart of the Apostle Paul. Paul's heart is this. He said, hey, I have a relationship with the great one, with the grander one. I have a relationship and I'm found in Him, in Jesus Christ. But he said, listen, I just don't want to know about His name, but I want to know Him personally. I want to have a relationship with Him. I'll tell you tonight, if there's anything I want, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to experience His presence and I want to walk with Him and talk with Him and commune with Him and have fellowship with Him. Oh, I'm saying to you tonight, oh, listen, today He said that I may know Him and know Him in a more intimate fashion. that I may know Him in a more intimate fashion. He said, I want to know Him. What is He saying to us? He said, hey, I knew God yesterday. I fellowship with God yesterday. I've communed with God today. I've talked with God today. But I want you to understand, I wanted to know Him today more than I knew Him yesterday. And child of God, believer, I want to know Him more tomorrow than I knew Him today. He said that I may know Him. There's something special about the presence of God. I don't know about you, but listen, I want to experience Him in a very intimate way. I want a relationship with Him. I want to commune with Him. And here Paul said that I may know Him. But notice he uses this little conjunction and he said, and the power of His resurrection. You say, well, does He want to come forth from the grave? Hey, He'll come forth from the grave. The Apostle Paul already knew about that. We'll deal with that in a moment. But here he said, I want to experience the power of the One that came forth out of the grave. Hey, listen, to have no God's presence, but to have God's power. To have God's presence, but to have God's power. And here he begins. He says this, the power of His resurrection. See, he realized who had all power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find that he begins to talk about death. And he said, death, where's your sting? Where's your power is what he's saying. He said, where's your ability? And death tried to hold him. And death, hey, listen, thought he had him. And it wrapped his hands around him and said, hey, I'm in possession of. I have him. I'll hold him. He's mine. But let me say to you, thank God for that third day. Thank God the stone rolled away from that door. Hey, praise God. And you say, what happened? And then we see the statement that Paul wrote down. He said, oh grave, where's your sting? Where's your hurt? Where's your hold? Hey, it's been swallowed up in victory. Hey, I'm saying tonight we have victory because of the blood-stained banner, because that He came forth out of the grave. I'm saying to you, child of God, hey, we are overcomers because He overcame. Amen. Thank God He overcame. Paul said, I want to experience that power in my life. I want the power of God to indwell me. I want the power of God in my life and upon me as I walk with Him. Notice two things here about the power of God. You can experience the power of God in your life, and it is a greater power than you've ever experienced in your life or ever will experience. God's working beyond your expectations. But notice here, Paul began to point out, he said, I want to know the power that's an enduring power. Notice me, the phrase said, the fellowship of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. That word here, fellowship, means one who's walking along beside. Hey, listen, my friend, that one who's walking beside you, you're communing with Him. Hey, listen, you're close to Him. He's close with you. And you've got an intimate relationship with that one. He said the fellowship, you can have fellowship in the midst of your hardships and your trials and your tribulations. I believe that's what brought the Apostle Paul to the place that he said this in chapter number 4 and verse 13. He said, move on. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice he didn't say self, but he said through Him. Through Him, through Him, I can endure and go forth. Oh, listen, I said this past December and January, when I got out of the hospital still on all these narcotics, and I remember we went over and I had to rest 3 days. I couldn't travel the 525 miles back from Florida to North Carolina. I had to rest and try to recuperate a little bit, getting some strength back, and still when we left, I was still so weak I couldn't hardly sit up. But I remember that night I called. My mother had come down to Florida and my older sister to help Christy with the kids. And they came down and that was on that Saturday and I got out of the hospital on Sunday, and it was a Tuesday night, I believe it was. I was sitting in there. It was 2:00 in the morning. I woke Christy up and I was talking to her and I was hurting so bad. And I was sitting on the side of that bed, Boy, I said, oh Lord. I said, man, I just can't stand it. I couldn't lay down and I was hurting and I was weeping. And I told Christy, I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what. She said, you want me to take you back to the emergency room? I said, no, they wasn't helping me down there. I want to get to North Carolina. We're going to leave in the morning. We're going. And I called my mother in there and I told them, my sister and Christy, I looked at them and I said, I'm going to sit right here in Jacksonville, Florida and die. She said, you want me? I said, no, no. You're going back to bed. We're leaving in the morning at 7 o'clock. We're going to pack the things up and we're headed out of here. I got up on the edge of that bed and I maneuvered my way across the floor. Mama and Judy, I sent them on back to bed about 3 o'clock or so. And I went in there in the bathroom and I sat down on that tub, on the side of that tub. And I just leaned over and Chrissy had gone back to bed. Boy, I tell you, when the Word of God, as I said earlier, the Word of God will be your strength. It'll be what you need in the hour that you need it. I don't know what possessed me, but I began to quote in the book of John, started in chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And if I forgot a passage or couldn't quote the verse of Scripture, I'd talk about the section and I'd jump down to where I could remember a verse. He came to His own and His own received Him not. Then verse 12, as many as received Him to them gave Him power. And I'd quote those Scriptures and I'd go through and I couldn't remember. I'd talk about it and with the passage of Scripture. But I made it all the way. I was at chapter number 11. And when I got to chapter 11, I couldn't remember one verse in that whole passage, brother. I couldn't remember one verse in it. And I knew that it spoke of the death of Lazarus. But my mind failed me and I couldn't. I was sitting there hurting and in so much pain and I was weeping and I said, oh my, I can't believe I can't remember a verse here. But it was comfort to me just to quote those Scriptures. But then all of a sudden, two words popped in my mind from that passage of Scripture. And I realized, I said, oh, I learned those as a young child. The shortest verse in all the Bible is here. Jesus wept. And I thought about the humanity the humanity of God. But I thought about He was 100% God, but yet 100% man. And while I thought about that, and I began to think about that passage of Scripture, how that all hope was lost. All hope was lost. He wept when he heard of the loss of his friend. He was troubled by it. But then he showed up. And they said, why did you come? There's no use to come. Now, why did you do it? He's been dead and in the grave for 4 days. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, I like that old song that says this. He may be 4 days late, but thank God he's right on time. Amen. Every time. Boy, I thought about that. I thought about the aspect, hey, they didn't realize that hope had stepped out on the scene. Hey, hope was there to bring victory. Hey, hope was there to put death. Swallow him up again in victory. Amen. And my friend, Jesus walked forth. As I thought about that, the tears rolling down my face. My mind thought about the tears of Jesus as He wept. And my mind went forward to that of the words of the Apostle Paul. He was touched in all points by the feelings of our infirmities. Hey, listen, God's not caught by surprise by what you face. God's not caught off guard. We may be caught off guard, but God is never caught off guard and caught by surprise. As I began to think about that, He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm facing. Then that verse came into my mind when the Apostle Paul said, listen, I was struggling. I was facing with hardship. I'm telling you, I had a thorn in the flesh. You say, what's that thorn? I can't rightly say. Commentators, everybody has a different opinion on it. But I know one thing, he did have a thorn in his flesh. He was faced with circumstances. He was faced with hardness. And he said, I asked God to remove it. Thrice I asked him, but he didn't take it away. But God, he said this to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for Thee. I said, Lord, I need a little grace right now. Hey, God, I need a little grace. I don't know if this is stirring your bucket of corn, but it is mine. Amen. Listen, I'm thankful. Thank God that God showed up on the scene there that night. And thank God He didn't remove my pain. But let me say, He gave me grace to deal with it. He curbed the pain, the sorrow. Let me say to you, there's only one that can help you through your hardships. And Paul said, the only way you can make it and go forth and endure is that through the power of a holy God. He said there's enduring power. Not only is there enduring power, but there's enabling power. That enabling power, I'll not take time to preach that tonight. But notice that word, conformable. That word to conform means to be similar in form or type. You say, why do we face these things, these problems and hardships? Well, listen, that's the neighbor. We can't make ourselves like Christ. But what is He doing? He's making us like Himself. See, apart from Him, we cannot be like Him. See, He must do the transforming and the conforming. See, it's not our power, but it's by His power that we make it through. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, child of God, press on. Press on. There's no trial too big. There's no heart turmoil. I mean, no tribulation too great. Listen, my friend, press on, because there's a grander person to exalt in the midst of it. There's a greater power to experience as you go through it. But let me give this to you. Oh, it's not the end, Paul said. Press on. Why stand in the harnesses and pull and stay marching forward? Why go on? Why press on? Because there's a glorious place to enjoy. Look with me in verse number 20 when he said this. He said, for our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Oh, he said, listen, my citizenship, that word conversation, he said, my citizenship is in heaven. I've sang that old song many times. Hey, this world's not my home. I'd like the old time preacher said, don't drive your stakes down too deep, because it's going to be getting out of here time pretty quick. Don't drive them down too deep. We're going to get out of here before too long. Hey, all this stuff that's going on in this world today, don't let CNN rattle your nerves. And don't let Fox rattle you either. Amen. They all like to talk and don't have all the solutions. We got the solution right here. Amen. We read, as that old song said, we read the back of the book and we know who wins. Amen. Hey, listen, we're on the upward go. Amen. Hey, he said, my citizenship is in heaven. Press on. I preached a meeting not too long. Well, I say not too long. That was back in May. And a preacher got up after I got done preaching. He said, listen, he said, I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to throw the towel in. The Lord come back next week. He said, I'd have to give an account of that. Just press on. Live for God. Walk for God. That's what I say. Live on. Walk on. He said, press on. Notice, why is he pressing on? There's anticipation of his coming. He said in verse number 20, he said, from whence also, what? We look. He said, my gaze is not on things around me. Let me say, if your eyes are looking on things around you, you'll get discouraged. And let me throw this in right here while I'm here talking about looking around. Don't look at somebody else. They're flesh and blood just like you are. And get your eyes on them. Hey, you keep your eyes on me, I'll let you down. I'll let you down sometimes. Hey, I'm going to try my best not to, but I may let you down. Hey, don't look at me. Because I'm in a flesh and body. Don't look at who I am. Look at who He is. Keep your eyes up. Look to Him and live. Follow Him and live. Hey, walk after Him and live. Amen. All the anticipation. Thinking about this, Paul was moved by the fact, hey, I'm looking for His glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, he told Titus, he said, lift up your head. This world don't have hope. This world is coming to a hopeless end. But I know I'm looking for my blessed hope. Keep your eyes up. And why? Listen, just press on. Press on. There's going to be battles to fight. There's going to be things that you'll come up against as a child of God. Others have faith, but don't let down the banner. Hold the banner high and keep pressing on until He comes, until He appears. Look forward with anticipation of His coming. But notice the altering of those who, that He claims. He said, hey, listen, verse number 20. He said, who shall change this vile body? I like that old song that says, what a day that will be. There's no more, there's going to be no more tears. There's not going to be no more sorrow. There's not going to be no more trouble. There's not going to be no more pain. No more gallbladder to jerk you out, hallelujah. No more calories to fight. And no more ugly to face, amen. You say, how do you know about that? I look in the mirror every day, amen. You do too. Hey, listen, no more heartache. While I'm right there, Brother Philip Brown, you don't know him, he's a young preacher. He texted me before service, they've had to take his daughter in. Hannah, how old is Hannah, babe? About 10, 11 years old, 11 or 10, 10, 11 or 12, right in there, somewhere in there. I know she's lost. And they're in the hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina right now. They're having to take her gallbladder out and they have to take her spleen out. So y'all pray for the Brown family. One day we'll have to ask for requests like that because we'll have a body. We'll have a changed body. Hey, what did he say? Paul said, hey, listen, you're going to be altered. This vile body is going to be changed. This vile body is going to be changed. He said, he'll change this vile body and it shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to do all things unto Himself. Oh, listen. I like what 1 Thessalonians 4 said about this in verse 18. He said, comfort one another with these words. A week ago last Saturday, I had to come home and had to do a funeral down at the church where I used to pastor. Had to go down in High Point on one night and then the next day come up and have the viewing and all there at the church and helping the funeral. And listen, we don't know when we're going to check out of here. But when we do, you say, what'd you do that day? Well, your preachers preach funerals. I assume Brother Kirlin, he's preached several funerals probably in his ministry. And what do? We just try to comfort the family. Give them the comfort of the Word. Preach the gospel to those that are lost. Say, hey, you better get ready because there's a face. What we do to the believer, we comfort them with the Word. What is it? Hey, this body. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. He said this. Oh, I tell you of a great mystery. You say, preacher, can you explain it all? No, I can't, but I believe it all. Amen. Hey, I believe it all. Paul said, hey, in Romans he talked about, he said, those things I wrestle and fight in this body, those things that I should do, I find myself not doing. And those things that I should not do, I find. He said, let me tell you, I fight in this body. He said, but one day, he said, I'll tell you of a mystery. Hey, listen, we're not going to all sleep. He says in 1 Thessalonians, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ is going to come out of the ground. Those which are alive and remain be caught up to be with Him. And he said in 1 Corinthians back there, he said, oh, listen. He said, this corruptible shall take on incorruption. And this mortal shall take on immortality. Hey, listen, my friend. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm pressing on. I'm looking with an upward look toward with anticipation of His coming. But I'm saying this. I know this. I'm saved. Know Christ. I know He's my Lord and my Savior. And you say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. Let me read this to the children of God, and I'm going to make another statement and I close. Notice with me, this old song comes out of a hymnal. It says this, press on. Paul said to press on. Before I read that, he said, press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me say to you, listen, there's some crowns to be won. Hey, there's going to be some rewards there. I don't have time to go into all that tonight. I'd love to, but we don't have to. Hey, listen, just press on. And to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That old song goes this way. There's glory in my soul since Jesus took control. He placed within my heart a happy song. The joy bells sweetly ring. While His love I sing, press on, it won't be long. He fills my way with cheer. With Him, I have no fear. He guides my weary steps along the way. I'm glad He promised me a mansion full and free. Press on, it won't be very long. In heaven I am told the streets are purest gold. Oh, what a lovely place to make my home. United there we'll be, we'll shout the victory. Press on, it won't be very long. The chorus says, press on, it won't be very long, not long, until we reach that land of song. In heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on, it won't be very long. You say to the saints of God, what do you say? I say, press on. You keep living for God. Listen, you're going to face things in your life. You're going to face hardship. But Paul said, be a good soldier. Keep marching. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Press on. Press on. Press on. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I'm not living for the Lord. I know I'm saved. And I've gotten cold on God. And I've turned my back. And I've walked out. I haven't been faithful in my walk. I'm not faithful to church. I've not been faithful in every aspect of my Christian life. What do I need tonight? Do tonight, preacher? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to press on to an old-fashioned altar and cry out as David cried out, renew unto me the joy of thy salvation. God, forgive me. I've wronged. You have the consolation of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, listen, get to the cross. Press on. Press on to Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, help me. And then commit to Him, child of God, to press on until the trumpet of God sounds or death knocks at your door. Just determine to press on. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you've talked to the Christians tonight, but I'm sitting here, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Preacher, what about me? What about me? I'm not saved. Well, let me say to you tonight, I encourage you to press on. Won't you press on to that fountain that's filled with blood? Oh, listen, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Hey, listen, my friend, won't you press on to Calvary? To press on to the cross where there's forgiveness of sins. Listen, He wants to change your life. Hey, He wants to make a difference. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to change your life. Won't you press on and meet Jesus at the cross tonight? And you turn your life over to Him. I encourage you, press on to Him. Father, tonight, try to be encouragement to God's people. Tried to be a help to God's people tonight. God, I pray that You'll encourage their hearts to press on in these days. I believe in my heart that there are going to be tougher days ahead. There's going to be harder days ahead that we're going to be confronted with. And Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray, may we press on as believers. May we determine tonight to go forward for God. Father, for that one that may be a believer that's not following God, not faithfully serving You, God, may they find the altar tonight before they leave these grounds under an old-fashioned tent and recommit and refire and go out and do the work of the Lord. And then, Father, tonight, that one that may not know You, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit's already convicted them where they're sitting. God has shown them exactly what their need is. And Father, when invitation is given tonight at the end of this service, God, I pray that they'll press on to this old-fashioned altar and press on to the foot of the cross and ask You to forgive them of their sins and come in their heart and save them. God, do the work beyond us tonight for Your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.